we have to understand it is the role of the priest to examine the leper. And to examine, it's a hands-on business. Christ is in the role of a priest. Now, don't think of the priest of like the Roman Catholic Church or the Episcopal Church. That is not the picture of the priest in the Jewish society. But Jesus was not a priest according to the Jewish society. He was a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He predated the Aaronic line.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Pastor Rick paints a picture with words during his message from Luke 5 today. We will hear how Jesus broke all religious and cultural protocols to touch a leprous man so that he might be made well. Through this miracle, God demonstrates his willingness to reach out to sinful, needy people so that we too might be made spiritually whole. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 12, with today's study.
Have you met any Christian that has for one instant regretted their salvation? Has regretted that they know Jesus Christ? If it is deeper than the skin, it sits with me. He says here, Luke does in verse 12 of our text, that the leper implored Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He believed in the power of Jesus. Now, already the Lord had been doing miracles. We don't have a record of a leper being cleansed. We have demons being cast out. We have the sick being healed. The diseases being chased out. We have the Pharisees being dealt with, and not yet as intense as they're going to be, but he has already stood up against the religious order that everybody knew was wrong, but they had nothing else. And so there was this knowledge inside the leper that this Jesus was different. It was nothing like him. But he doubted his willingness to expend his glory and his love on one so full of uncleanness, on one so full of leprosy. He doubted that. Have you ever doubted the Lord's willingness? As I've grown in Christ, I've come to make a distinction between his willingness and his mission. It's not that he does not want to help, but there are things that he is doing that disallows him from doing what I want him to do so that he can achieve his goals, that he can make gains which otherwise would not be. God has a different view on our suffering than we do. He shares it with compassion. He certainly feels it with us. He sympathizes with us. But the mission must come first because it is more glorious than any instant healing or moment of escape or rest. And when we begin to understand his perspective is better, even if it is painful to me, then I become more useful to him in the midst of it. I don't like it when I see those dark clouds coming of misery, of turmoil, of pain, of whatever it may be. And it comes in so many different flavors. It can be another person. It could be something physical. It could be something unidentifiable. It could be just the task at hand. It's so many things it can be. I don't know if he's willing to undo the circumstances. But I do know that he is willing to love me, that he is willing to make a place for me in eternity in heaven, and by faith, I'm good with that. He trains me this way. He's my instructor. He's my master. I want him and he wants me. It's mutual. He is superior, and I know it. And I want it this way, and so do you. Why? Because he's worthy. He's worth it. He's worth it. He can pull it off. Nobody else can. We need heroes. We need God, Jesus Christ. And so again, to the Jew, uncleanness was more than a horrible disease. It was deeper than the skin, not only physically, but metaphorically. Sin is deeper. It's in the heart. Which is why when Moses, the first leper in Scripture, the man of God, the Bible refers to him, Moses, the man of God, was the first leper recorded in Scripture. He turned white as snow at leprosy when his hand touched his heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Above all things, who can know it? I, the Lord, know it. That's what Jeremiah goes on to say. I, the Lord, know it. Not long after that verse, Jeremiah will say, I have not stopped being a shepherd after you, who follows you. In the midst of all the things I don't like, in the midst of all the things that you do and don't do, the disappointments and how it is, I have not stopped being a shepherd after you. That should be what all Christians have in their heart. It's called endurance. Endurance comes from taking the pain. When there's no pain, there's nothing to endure. And Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. And so it meant to be an outcast, as mentioned, from Israel, yes, to be classified with the swine and with the dogs as something that was odious amongst creatures and in creation. The leper therefore prayed that the Lord would remove the shame and the contamination. In verse 13, we continue. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. He did what? What did he do? He touched him? The gasp coming from the crowd in astonishment. Nobody touches the leper. He touched him. Dr. Paul Brann, who is now with the Lord, who pioneered the world of reconstructive surgery on the hand, primarily on the hand of lepers, working, you know, leprosy, one of the forms of leprosy, it destroys the sense of feelings. The nerves begin, they don't work right. Your sense of feeling begins to go away, and as a result, you begin to hurt yourself. And so when you go to turn a key, and maybe it's rusted shut and you feel a little pain, you stop. But the leper doesn't feel the pain, so he continues to turn until the key cuts to the bone. And then the infection set in. Then he does it again until the limb is lost, the digit or whatever is rots, is lost. And he just, his whole body, the membranes in the nose, the facial deformities, all this junk begins to happen to them. Dr. Brann talks about reconstructing lepers' hands and then teaching them how to be sensitive and then sending them away to their home for a while. And then while they're there, they injure themselves or in their sleep, a rat gnaws on one of their limbs and they don't know it. They don't feel it. And they wake up in the morning and there's the damage. And so Paul Brann, and we have the book in the bookstore, I'm sure. There's two volumes, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, and In His Images. I strongly recommend reading them. But he writes, he says, I hate leprosy. Victims who are not treated feel the disease slowly creep over the hands and feet. They then experience the worst effect of all. They lose the ability to sense human contact. You see, that's sin. Sin creeps over the body. Makes us insensitive to holy things. We begin to block them out. When the temptation comes, it seduces us away from the King, and the fight is on. But you see, we who believe, we come back and we fight. He continues, I have sometimes wondered why Jesus so frequently touched the people he healed, many of whom must have been unattractive, obviously diseased, unsanitary, smelly. With his power, he easily could have waved a magic wand. He could have just pronounced them clean. There were times he did, but there were times he touched them. I remember when my mother went home to be with the Lord, it was expected. It was a relief because the body, the tent, was no longer holding up against what life has to offer in this world. And I called at night, and while I was in bed, and my sister informed me she is now gone. And I went to work the next day. There's nothing else to do. I went to work, and I mentioned to the foreman I'd be taking a day or two off and in the days to come. And then he mentioned to the big boss of the job, and I'm working on a barge underneath, one of the bridges in the East River in New York, and I'm just working, and Eddie was his name. He comes along, and he says, "I heard about your mom." He puts his hand on my shoulder. He says, "It's a tough loss." And I got to tell you, he's not a believer, but there was power in human compassion. I was not emotional over any of these things. But I did not break down and have an emotional moment then, but it has stuck with me almost 30 years now. It has been with me. The power of touch is not a little thing. Now, you men, that works against you too. Don't be so quick to touch one of the sisters on the shoulder. If you're going to hug them, you give them a weird hug. Don't get too close. You might feel comfortable, they don't, and their husbands may be waiting for you outside, dressed in camis because they're on a mission. You see them all black face with the camouflage and the green, you got trouble. So it's okay to just say, how you doing? You don't have to touch them. It used to be a rule, a man didn't shake a woman's hand unless she extended it out to them, but once they entered the workplace, all that went away. Well, anyway, touch. It is a serious business. And I don't ever put my hand on another human being without being mindful of this very thing as a pastor. Now, I've not had to lay hands on someone like Nehemiah did as a pastor. And if you know the story of Nehemiah, I cursed some of them. I struck them. I pulled out their hair. My kind of man. But anyhow, laying on of hands, be careful. And so the touch of Jesus gave the leper a new conception of divine compassion, and it still does. That's what the story is here for. It is God touching man, sin-struck, miserable man. He's touching him. He's not removing himself. Yeah, well, whatever, just get healthy. I pronounce it. No, he doesn't do that. He puts his hands on him, as I'm repeating myself almost, because it's so meaningful to me. Also, that there would be no mistake as to who cleansed this man. When Jesus puts his hands on you, you know it's him. It's not some fake God. It's not some system of rules you've decided to follow. It's God Almighty, the touch of God on your life. He's able to do this. He does it all the time. But he never does it recklessly. You must be of a broken spirit and contrite heart. And this is why we are trying to tell all the people in this world that they must be touched by Christ. They must approach him as the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings. They're changing the Son from S-U-N to S-O-N. Now, it is argued, and those who study the scripture and dig into it, the really analytical minds, and you have to applaud them. Sometimes they get a little carried away. We'll get to the paralytic next session in Luke, and they're going to argue, we're not, but they're going to talk about for a long time about what kind of roof it was that was pulled back. And, maybe they're frustrated roofers. They wanted to be in the roofing business. But anyway, we'll get to that. But they do a lot about this touch, the legality of the touch. If you touch the leper, you become ceremonially unclean and in jeopardy of taking the disease. And this is why there was such a gasp in the crowd, no doubt, when he did touch him. But we have to understand it is the role of the priest to examine the leper and to examine. It's a hands-on business. Christ is in the role of a priest. Now, don't think of the priest of like the Roman Catholic Church or the Episcopal Church. That is not the picture of the priest in the Jewish society. But Jesus was not a priest according to the Jewish society. He was a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He predated the Aaronic line. And so it is very appropriate for him to touch the leper. And it is not only his right to touch the leper, but it is his power to do so without defilement. You see, sin could not get on to Jesus. We have to be very careful that it doesn't get on to us. And so here he meets him, the leper, and the leper meets the Lord. The leper was, to be cleansed by the law of Moses. The law could not cleanse him. But the touch of grace changed him forever. That's still the way it is. You can have Bible knowledge. You can throw at your morality everything you have. It will not save you. Now, the saved have evidences of morality. You better have some evidences of morality. You better be pursuing that which is right. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's called Christ-likeness. Not only are we looking to be like Christ and that we eschew sin, but that we also be like Christ and that we uphold righteousness. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, just pouring out, grace for grace, he continues, John does, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. All the lights turned on, unlike ever before. And then he says this powerful thing, John chapter 1, no one has seen God at any time. And then he goes on and he says, until now. He says, the only begotten Son, because there are no two begotten sons. Only one has come from the Father in human form and was God Almighty, divine, and that is Jesus Christ. He says, the only begotten Son who is in the heart of the Father, where there is no leprosy, he has revealed him, or declared him, or manifested him. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus Christ. You want to know what God would do with a leper? You look at Jesus Christ. You want to know what God would do with a self-righteous, pharisaical mentality? Look at Jesus Christ with the Pharisees. You want to know what God is like? You look at Jesus Christ. And so we receive the grace, but we do not believe for one moment that grace is without law. It's just not the law of bludgeoning one another or self. And so we have to look at the purpose of the law. The leper's touch was prohibited because it defiled the person that touched them, and it did not do anything for the one who was touched. The leper still was the leper, except when it was God. And so I remind us all that the application is that leprosy illustrates sin. All right, but it goes deeper than that. It illustrates personal sin, your sin, my sin, personally, no escaping it. And so when the New Testament writers were trying to warn the church to be separate from the world's influence and the sin, Paul says this, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And so there you have sort of a reversal now. The Christian is not putting people out. The Christian is getting out of the way of the world. Now, we're not isolationists, not at all. We have to be amongst those who are lost if we're going to be used to save them. This hermit theology is not biblical. It's attractive. Who wouldn't want their own island and everything that goes with it to make it luxurious? But who would get saved? Well, my servants would get saved. Nobody. That's what. It would be terrible. There'd be no church. I love this. This is one of my favorite rebukes on cozying up with sin. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't be friends with that stuff. Can two walk together unless they're agreed? Amos asked. Of course, they cannot. But the flesh can. Your flesh agrees with sin. Your flesh wants it, lusts for it, drools after it. It has to be beaten back. You cannot go up to your own flesh and politely make a request. Would you mind staying home today while I go? It's like, okay, sure, I'll be right here. If it could, it'd burn down your house when you got back. It'd be all smoke. The flesh, that's when the heart is deceitful.
above all things, desperately wicked. It's the flesh, the carnal nature. It is. You see, we are a natural man is one not touched by God, lost, dead in their sins. A carnal man is a Christian that's no longer natural, born again, but still goes after the natural things, the earthly things, the fleshly things, the things that it craves. That God has said, listen, I'm not prohibiting you from these things because they're fun. I'm prohibiting you from them because they're dangerous, and the fun is the lure to the danger. They look safe, they feel good for a while, and then they devour you. It is very piranha-like. And so, in Jesus' case, the reasons for law were absent, and the conditions being reversed, touching did not defile him. It actually cleansed the one whom he touched. And in all things, Christ touches and shares our humanity. He's in touch. He's very much aware. Remember that the next time you're pleading to him and you feel like, you know, when I get those moments and after I recover, I feel so ashamed. I don't mean, I'm not over the top with the shame, and nor is it mocked, you know, shame. It's just like, you know, Lord, in the early stage, it was big time shame. It was just terrible. I'm so unworthy. And he's like, yeah, no. But now it's like, I did it again. And I am not happy with this, Lord. Why does it have to be this way? You know why. I do know why. I just don't like it. I don't like it either. But what I'm working, it is necessary to achieve what I am working to do. And so these things must stand. If I'm going to have a people who love me for who I am, they're going to have to be tested. We both have to know it. You have to endure it because of me. Can you do that? Yeah. Now, going from that point, am I going to now live all my days out in fear and paranoia? You know, a lot of Christians have paranoia. Some of them, if they catch you, you know, looking at their kid too long, well, get away from him. It's like, we're not going to let him back in the children's ministry. You got perverts back there. You know, we go, it's like, come on, it's just paranoia. That's fear. God has not given us this spirit. Where's the courage? You know, there were multitudes around Jesus. All right, we understood that. When the flak began to fly between he and the Pharisees, many of them continued to come to him, not caring what the religious leaders said. That's courage. Why is it today? And I'll say this again next session and when we get to the paralytic. Why is it that we have multitudes in Bible-less, Christ-less churches? I don't even want to say it. We have people flocking to people where the word is not even spoken. And then when you have verse-by-verse teaching, there are many seats for people to come and sit down in. Why is this? There's a disconnect there. Well, we'll get to that, the reasons why, but I don't want to get away from this. The Lord, our Lord, touching the leper, sharing instead of being defiled, he is, of course, cleansing and purifying, and that's how he rolls, as we might say. He put forth his hand, he touched him. This was his right as God of Israel, and being beyond the reach of these things that defiled, we also get this lesson out of Mark. Mark writing about this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all write about this story. Matthew's the shortest, gets right to the point. Mark gives us some nice details, and he says, then Jesus moved with compassion. Luke didn't put that part in. Didn't have to. Mark covered it. So when he touched the leper, there was feeling involved on the Lord's side. He felt the pain. He felt the misery and the shame. Everything, he knew what the package was all about. And so Mark, who was likely a child or an adolescent, he was an adolescent at the time these events were carried out, witnessing many of them, he writes that he was moved with compassion, saying what the Lord said, I am willing. That's not how the leper heard it. He heard, I am willing. It was magnified. It was amplified. When he said, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. When he heard Jesus say, I am willing. Oh, man, that moment. That one moment, if we could have caught that and posted that on YouTube or Flickr, just nothing is manly anymore.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As you likely gathered, we're currently studying through the Gospel of Luke here on Cross Reference Radio. To learn more about Cross Reference Radio, visit our website at crossreferenceradio.com. You can download today's teaching or subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing is easy. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. We encourage you to place a marker in your Bibles and join us same time, same place for the next edition of Cross Reference Radio.